Welcome to the round 11 Supercoach Coach podcast. My name's Marcus, and I feel like I've been doing a lot of these recently, but I'm joined by FB Donkey. Welcome back to the main show, mate. It's great to have you back on, recording on a Saturday morning. Plenty of energy, plenty of coffee.
Good, mate. We actually bought a brand new espresso machine this week, so the coffee is high quality today and definitely necessary. And good to be back on the main show for the first time in quite a while, I think, although I have been enjoying doing the Patreon podcast with you.
It's certainly been fun. We've gone off the beaten track a little bit more and just had good chats on there. So a bit of unique sort of strategy conversation there. But for our main listeners, why don't you give them a bit of an update on how you've been going, Mark? Hopefully well.
Not too bad, mate. The last 2 weeks I've actually dropped 1,000 spots though. So I did get into about 2,500 rank and now I'm back out to 3,600. So dropped 360 spots this week. I think that the main difference was Oliver. So that 200 is just so massive that I think a lot of the teams that went past me would have had Oliver. Other than that, my team went okay.
Still got in three hindsight. Sorry to butt in, Mark. Does that seem like an obvious thing that we missed? I mean, buy free, Clayton Oliver.
Yeah, I think, I'm still okay with my reasoning for that I have Gorn, Petrarca and Viney, and I just didn't want a fourth Melbourne premium. And so I kind of figured that if Gorn, Petrarca and Viney were doing really well, then that would squeeze out Oliver a little bit. But he has still been doing awesome. He's been scoring really, really well as well. And I could have probably had all four of them and potentially looked to trade out one or two on the run home.
Yeah, I think also something to note on some of those players, though, is that you do want to hit them on their big scores because there are a few players that seem to be in and around the mark every week in the sense that they've got heaps of consistency, but they're struggling to really break through in games. And I'm thinking of Bontempelli, who's been mostly in the 90s and 100s, but one big score in the 166. You've got Kelly, who's been sort of lingering around the same with one big 200 score. And Clayton Oliver is another one where his scores, I think, relatively has been pretty depressed. I mean, I think the week before the 200, he had another big 160 game or so. But we're seeing some weird patterns with some of these players. And I bring this up because I brought Bontempelli in after his 166 and then he's returned to these 90s and 100s, Mark. And I know I've noticed Kelly the last 2 weeks back closer to the 90-100 mark. Yeah. Do you have concerns about Oliver, you know, in terms of needing this big game to be able to boost his average? Because, you know, the Steele and Duncan types, the bit more the outside types, seem to be stealing a bit more points this year.
He's been pretty consistent though, Oliver, and I think that he is the sort of player that has always relied on those really big games and just posting good scores other than that. Yeah, and he's gone, 660-odd thousand. I don't think he's relevant at all at that price.
All right. Well, I cut you off, Mark, before finishing the rest of your update. You got anything else to update the community on team-wise?
Just got three upgrades to go, so I'll be looking at making at least one of those this week. Sammy Mays, 124 2 weeks ago, absolutely delighted with that, looking to get a huge influx of cash, and then he gets suspended for a week. So that has probably stalled my process a little bit. But, yeah, overall, sitting at 3,600, things are going all right. I'm pretty bloody disappointed about the Bombers last night, though, mate. I'm feeling pretty average today after blowing a 29-point lead.
Yeah. I didn't actually get to see the game, but I've certainly seen a lot of Callan Ward doing spinning stars across Twitter. So.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big incident, and it's pretty crazy that Essendon lost the game because of that situation. Like, it was clearly not a free kick, but there was a few other incidences that we should just have never got into that situation. Wallace should have kicked a couple of goals in the last quarter that he missed, one that he passed off. McKenna giving away a 50. So Heath Shaw kicked two goals, hasn't kicked a goal since 2016 and kicked two goals in a game. There was a few incidences outside of that. And to be honest, pretty disappointed with the Bombers fans. I'm in a couple of group chats with people and they're just so bloody negative. And I know that it's hard, but we've got a lot of good players out. We did get 29 points up, but yeah, the Bombers fans, I don't think that they're doing themselves a good service at the moment.
Yeah, it's a bit hard to gain perspective on just how tight the comp is, but I think when you look at Adelaide sort of being the team at the bottom now, there's no other real clear bottom, and even they were a pretty good team as of fairly recently. So the comp is just so tight that, I very much agree with that. Like when I get caught up with getting frustrated with Geelong, you know, I got to remind myself just how slim the margins are. So, yeah, that's a good point, Mark. I mean, in terms of Supercoach on my side, I had a mediocre week, but actually a good week considering how many premiums I had on the bench. So I ran 6 premiums on the bench, which having a look at most people is definitely above the average. And so considering that, I was actually really happy with the 1977 that I got because I'm so far back. I still moved up a couple thousand. So I'm in the 24,000 club at the moment. But more importantly, I'm finally happy with where my team's at. I've actually managed to complete all my upgrades except for 2 rookies. And those rookies are Pitney and Noble, who I think are reasonably good rookies to have as your last ones left. And, you know, Pitney is intending to go to Gorn after he's, you know, cratering in price, although I'm not sure if I'll still bring him in now. And Noble to Zach Williams, who will have bottomed out after his bye next week. So my team from a, you know, what I'm supposed to do for the year, Mark, is basically I'm done. Like I've set my plans. I know what I got to do. So I've got, you know, the rest of my trades and whatever else they give us just to tinker around the edges and have a bit of fun. So I know I'm very far back, but I'm finally at a happy spot where, you know, that was kind of my plan because I was so far back, I had to find an alternate theory to get back up. Hopefully now my team that's a bit more closer to completion than the rest can charge me forward, Mark. That's my hope at least. So some hope this week. I've been probably a bit glum the last 10 weeks. So.
I know how that feels, mate. It's just, I guess the tricky bit is that in a shortened season, you don't have as much time to come back, which is a little bit tricky.
I think to your point in the Patreon show, Mark, you were still happy for me because even though I caught up 100 points, I'm still 500 points behind. But, you know, I have a chance of getting back into the top 5,000, top 2,000 by the end of the year, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
If you beat me this year, I may not be back next year.
All right, let's get to some questions, Mark. And so a bit more similar to the Patreon show, we'll stay a bit more fluid with the nature with which we tackle these shows just because, yeah, it's been a few hours since the end of the last round, since a bit of heartbreak for you, Mark. And our listeners even sort of lamented on that, right, when I asked about questions last night. I had a few being like, can I have a day to think, please? So we'll do our best just to navigate some initial thoughts, Mark. I know we didn't get any questions about Gorn, but obviously, you know, that's one that's front of mind in terms of trading out premiums and stuff like that. So we'll whip through some questions, Mark, and see how we go. We'll start off with the first one from Shannon Swan, one of our Patreons, and it's just starting off by saying, rookies. What do we do with rookies? The week before last, most people did double, triple downs. And then last week, a lot of people did, you know, double ups. This week, Mark, it's back to looking for some value with rookies. And it kind of gels. It's worked out reasonably nicely. Some years we get punished, but we had a week of lots of rookies. We all wanted to bring him in. Last week, not a lot of rookies, which was pretty fortunate. And this week, a lot of rookies again when we need to bring them in, which is pretty nice. Anybody sort of catching your attention who debuted on the weekend, mate?
Schoenfeld probably is the one that I like the best. He just came with the highest wraps, was really quiet in the first half, but had a lot of game time in the second half and looked pretty good. And so, yeah, he's probably the number one on my list this week. I think that I'm really disappointed that I missed out on Tobe Watson. Just it was a game order thing that I took Ling instead of Watson, and that just Ling, what did he score on the weekend? 11 or something crazy?
11. Jeebus.
Yeah, so that's pretty horrible. And so they're probably the main two that I like the look of. Woodcock is interesting just because he's completely basement, like 103,000, which could make a difference in a season like this. They're probably the ones that are the most interest to me. And Wicks for next week or this week if you really need someone. He looked pretty good too.
Mm. We got a couple of questions about probably 2 other guys popped up a fair bit. Another Adelaide bloke, Lachlan Scholl. Obviously, compared to Schoenberg, who's been talked about a little bit in terms of being a next-generation midfielder for that team, Scholl potentially is in there a little bit more for auditioning purposes, especially with a lot of the outs, like McPherson this week, for example.
Yeah.
But Scholl's another one that was brought up. And then Hosey for North Melbourne's one that people looked at as well. Really impressed as a medium forward on an experienced defender in his first game out. Any thoughts on either of those two guys, Mark?
Scholl was awesome in the first half and then really faded after that. I'd have Schoenberg ahead of him, but like if you're looking for a defensive rookie, Scholl does look all right. They're all gambles at this point in the year. If they didn't play in the first 10 weeks, there's probably a reason for that with most of them. Hosey, I'm pretty sure two of his goals or the two goals that he kicked came from free kicks, like right in front of goal.
But he was winning that contest before that free kick happened, right? Like,
yeah, it seems a little bit tricky to replicate that on a week-to-week basis. And I think that Watson and Walker at the 150-ish K marks are both okay. Who would you take out of Hosey or Woodcock?
Ooh, that's quite a tough one. I think Hosey, just because North, may try to rotate rookies a bit more late in the season than Woodcock. I would assume that as you get closer to finals, Port being where they are, Woodcock might get less of a run eventually, whereas Hosey, if North stay where they are, they'll want to try and see what he can do before next season. So that's just a guess as to where it might go. I don't know if that's a strong theorem, though.
Yep. And Hosey's he's mature age, isn't he? He was picked up in the mid-year draft last year, wasn't he? So, taking the mature age player seems to work in most situations. Like, I know Jacob Arts started a bit slow, but he's become pretty important to Richmond over the last month or so with his goal kicking.
Now, can I bring up a name with you, Mark? And you might have forgotten this name by now, but you actually touted him in the preseason. It's a rookie. You reckon you know who I'm talking about? A rookie you talked about in the preseason who played his first game?
Not a clue.
Jeremy Sharp. Remember him?
Not very well, no. He didn't score particularly well last night, did he? I was sort of...
No, but I remember you pointing us towards Sharp at one stage, no?
The preseason was an awfully long time ago, Mark.
Yeah, but, you know, just a guy we talked about in the preseason, does that make him sort of more tempting as, you know, does that mean better things from job security point of view?
Potentially. I don't remember a hell of a lot about him. He was definitely someone that I was looking at one point, but...
Yeah, okay, that's a firm no then. Okay, last one that I had in the rookies, Mark, just because, you know, I love me some DPP. Trey Rusko, def mid, Collingwood player, 43. If you've got Starcevic, Rivers sort of types, I guess you might look at him a bit more closely. What do you reckon about Rusko?
Tricky one. I think he kicked like 1-3, didn't he, as part of the Collingwood problem on the weekend. Looked pretty good against the Swans, although Swans are not amazing. And Collingwood have a lot of injuries, so you'd think that there's some chance he might get a few games. I just wonder how much he got a game because of Collingwood playing, what is it, 4 games in 13 days? Like he was just part of a rotation rather than like a... I don't see him being in their end of year team, personally.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think this week, fairly clearly, Schoenberg number one. I think if I was then having to dip a bit further, I'd go with Hosey. Outside of that, I think you're probably taking a bit of a risk either way. But then I guess Boyd Woodcock, 20K of savings. Like people might not realize that it's a 20K difference between sort of your normal price rookies and the basement. It's still significant enough to potentially consider that as well. Any final things to wrap up on that, Mark? I mean, there's quite a few players that played their second game on the weekend but didn't go up in price. But they've also been dropped like Skinner and Ballenden and all those sorts of types. So I know so many people in the community just be frazzled about making sure that the people they pick actually stay on park at this stage.
It's a tricky one. I may not be bringing any of these guys. I think that if I was going to, Schoenfeld would be the one.
Are you thinking about passing Schoenfeld? Seems like, you know, decent value potentially. Inside mid, Adelaide give games to kids.
Just not sure of how much he's going to score over the course of the season. Yeah, just not sure whether he fits into my plans this week at the moment.
Cutting quickly with the next question then from Matthew Donnelly from Facebook. Is that because you're taking Toby Watson and is he a viable selection this week?
No, it's not. I may not be taking any rookies this week.
Oh, when you say these guys, you mean zero rookies all up?
I see. Potentially, yeah. Just I'm not sure that any of these guys are going to be in their teams at the end of the year.
Yep. I mean, Ling and Ballenden in the last 2 weeks are prime examples of that. So it is very, very dangerous times at the moment. I think you're still needing to downgrade to achieve an upgrade. And at some stage, you need to take a risk. But if you can't achieve an upgrade this week with your downgrade, side swaps and things like that might suddenly become a little bit more attractive than potentially burning your bench too much further. So before we get onto that, though, you know, just final ruling on Toby Watson. Would you consider him a viable rookie selection at his inflated price?
I think he is. He's a bit of a tricky one, though, because I'm not sure of Freo's injury list, but they do have like a few players that could play his role that are currently out of the side at the moment injured and could potentially take that position from him, even if he's playing okay. Done a couple of silly things in the last game, but other than that, looked pretty good and his scoring potential has been quite good. Definitely wish I got him at 120, at 150. He's a risk, but if you're really looking for a defensive rookie, I'd probably have him ahead of Scholl.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'd rather pay 30K more for a guy who I think will play for a bit longer than Scholl, who my assumption is, you know, McPherson comes back, he goes out sort of thing. You got McCasey. There's just got so many defensive Hamill. Like, there's just so many.
Yeah, I think that Hamill will probably miss this week, so Scholl will keep his spot. But, yeah, he's going to be a week-to-week proposition.
All right, last rookie bit, Draper. Does he fall into a similar camp where if you didn't pick him up, and there were a lot of people who were trying to maximize the amount of, you know, upgrades that they did and therefore might have missed a Draper, would you bring him in at 166, like 270s? Last week they dropped Belch, which was the assumption that that may be a possibility if Draper had a first good game. So a lot of ticks. I mean, he was quiet in one half, but I know he scored well in the other.
Yeah, I think what do you reckon? It was on like 8 at half 9 or something crazy. Yes, I think at 166, if he's going to be our number one ruck, and I think he will be, and I think he'll play most weeks, maybe not every week just because of the condensed fixture, but and if it wasn't a condensed fixture, I think he would play every week as our number one ruck, and players playing in that role can generally score quite well. So at 166, I think he presents still a ton of value.
Obviously, we're not AFL coaches, but like as clearly an uneducated sideline watcher, I have no idea why you would start Tom Bell Chambers over Sam Draper. I'd rather lose games with Draper than win with Bell Chambers, to be perfectly frank.
100%.
Yeah, so hopefully for super coaches, that means good things. All right, let's get off rookies, Mark, and on to some other questions. The first one here is from @StephenC24. This is a broad question and really more a matter of perspective opinion at this stage, but should we continue to use all our trades on the assumption that we'll be given extra trades once future buy rounds are announced, Mark?
That's a really good question. My short answer is yes. But I did look at my trades this morning and I sort of, after doing, so I ran through 3 trades and what it would look like. I'm down to 11 at the moment. If I do 3 this week and 3 next week, that takes me down to 5, which feels very short. And so I would be assuming that we get at least another 3 trades. And I personally, I am very much working on that assumption. Unfortunately, it hasn't been confirmed and it won't be until the fixture is confirmed. But there has to be more buy rounds and they've set a precedent now. And I think what they've shown this season is if they set a precedent, they'll keep doing the same thing. And so I'm very much working on the assumption that we get more trades. Otherwise, I'd be running very short.
Look, I'm in a situation where I think that, you know, you talked about cash generation issues and I mentioned that I don't have the same issues. It actually would be in my interest, Mark, if I now think about how I could stretch my trades to get the most out of them compared to everybody who's still turbo trading to complete their team. I could save those for sideways swaps and things like that rather than just trying to generate shitty trades with 30 or 40K right now with Rivers types. But even though I'm in that situation, Mark, and it probably doesn't make sense now I'm articulating it, not to take that strategy, but I'm still assuming the same thing that you are because, you know, they've shown that once they've set a precedent that they want to be able to give that consistency and reliability to their users. And so assuming that a buy will happen again and that trades will happen again, if I don't trade now, I'm kind of wasting my time a little bit. So I might consider doing 2 trades instead of 3 and maybe save one more for finals or whatever later down the track, but certainly not thinking about seriously saving trades. Very much trying to turbo on if you can.
I've max traded since we came back, and I plan on keeping doing that until they're all gone, pretty much. I think that the trickiest part going forward is that we don't know the fixture, so we don't know which teams are going to be lumped on a bye with other teams. Like, the bye planning is hard enough as it is. To not even know who's going to be sharing a bye is insanely difficult, and it just means that you kind of don't plan for byes, which is makes it more fun anyway, I guess. Yeah, my main concern is who Geelong gets paired with now that I've got Stuart, Duncan and Danger.
To be frank, having been through 6 premiums in the last week, I'm pretty sure I'm in a better space than most. So bring on the pain, baby. Bring on the pain. All right, let's get on to the next question, Mark. And we're going to talk about some trade-ins now. The first question is from at Joe Kundal asking about Luke Shuey. So I know we got a fair few questions about non-buy-free players, and I just do really want to reiterate that unless a player with a buy remaining presents undeniable value, like Stuart, potentially Duncan last week, you really don't want to be considering players with a buy moving forward if you can pick a buy-free player. And that's just because there's not that many rounds left. It's a very significant impact having somebody miss 1 out of 7, 1 out of 6, 1 out of 5 next rounds. And so Shuey is very much a prime consideration this week. So Luke Shuey, Mark, what do you reckon at a discount price? If you take out his injury-affected game, you're looking at 111 plus was a statistic I saw. So certainly impressive.
No. Oh, you want more than that?
Oh, harsh. Was it the Tim Kelly effect? His 33 was injury affected. His next worst score is 83. His next worst score is 104, Mark. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty good, but there are some other decent players on the side. He's also had a highest average ever of 101 ever.
That is true.
And he's played true. Like he's played like 10 seasons. So even if there's a big effect this year, surely someone 10 seasons into their career isn't all of a sudden going to jump up to 120 or something.
All right. I will just present counters to that just to balance the argument out a little bit. West Coast clearly had a slow run into the season. They play a lot of at home now moving forward. At 488K buy free, being able to bring in a player of his caliber, noting still the injury record, I doubt that you're going to get him generating less than what he's averaged at today. And so when you factor in the extra missed game compared to a comparative premium that might miss, to me that takes him easily close enough to a 115. That's potentially the counter to you, Mark. Yeah. Noting that sort of historically, Shuey's not an ultra premium, so you are taking additional risk. Like Elliot Yeo, I guess, falls more into the super coach sort of fall in premium bracket than Shuey.
I would really like, and I know that we've been burnt by this in the past. I think Simpson was the one that got us a few years ago, mainly that sometimes players break out after 10 years. Like sometimes that's when they do have their best ever season. I think even Hearn did last year. It's something that I am generally willing to bet against happening though.
Yeah, like we willingly get burnt on those. It hurts when we do, but we almost willingly take it. Yeah, that's absolutely true, Mark. All right, can I throw a bomber player in? I know Clayton Oliver didn't look as attractive, but Zach Merritt, 437,000. He hasn't been talked a lot about.
Do you mean 537,
sorry. Yeah, he was already cheap relative to his potential following last season, and obviously he's gone down again, and he's buy free. Can you shed a bit of light in terms of his game and where you see it going? Because he's had 4 games above 100, 4 games below. We've seen this in the past with Merritt before, and he's finished season strongly. Do you think this could be a similar thing?
Very, very hard to get a read on, to be honest. And because he gets plenty of the ball. I think the last couple of weeks where he's scored quite well, he's been like really high at halftime and hasn't quite gone on with it, which I'm not. So that was against Adelaide and against GWS last night. It was over 90 at halftime or 85 or something, and just sort of petered out to 119. I think he was about 100 at halftime against Adelaide. And there is only 200s in the last 6 weeks. So, pretty hard to get a read on.
He's not gone this badly in a few years, right? Like I'm almost expecting that this is like you know, an anomaly, and he should be scoring better again. Do you know of any injury concerns? Would there be any reason you see for him dropping off? Harris getting more midfield time?
Yeah, I think that our midfield is deeper and there's more competition for spots in there. And I haven't looked at the actual numbers, but I think his centre bounce attendances would be way, way down. I noticed he's been starting on the wing a lot. And so he's been playing on ball, but just not actually in the centre bounce attendances, just to start each bounce. Potentially Shiel having some bigger games this year. Him and Shiel seem to swap each week on who's going to dominate. They very rarely seem to be doing it together. Yeah, I don't think he's a bad pick at that price. Yeah, I think he's a $600,000 player, so he presents a heap of value and he has no buy. He's not really on my radar personally, but then I already have a few bombers.
So the reason I guess I bring him up is just when you look at the buy-free players, he certainly is one of the options that stands out in terms of value. Maybe if I can compare him to some other value options in the midfield then. How do you compare Zach Merritt compared to Tim Kelly, who's averaging 102 right now, Gaff, who's averaging 102, Gaff's at 500, Tim Kelly's at 550.
Okay.
I know you've got Andy McGrath at 480.
Yeah.
And then there's Elliot Yeo at 480, right? So when we're talking about these buy free premiums, and I know a few people are looking at them. And PS, if you do not have Patrick Cripps, like a lot of us do, but obviously he's very good value at 488. Him aside, you know, these more fringe options, how do you sort of relate Merritt to Gaff and Kelly and others?
Yeah, that's tricky. Gaff's been really up and down and really frustrating, and he's never really been Supercoach relevant except for really short periods. So I guess that he could go nuts for a short period, but it's very, very unpredictable. Kelly, I would have ahead of Yeo at this stage. Yeo hasn't really fired since being picked up cheap by people about a month ago. Really, I'd be doing every single thing that I can and making compromises in other ways to go up that extra $30,000 to Tom Mitchell. Or even the
50. That makes me sad. He's a unique for me right now.
Oh. And I know that Fifey's got injury issues and still has 150 break even, but even he's only 588 or something. So those two they're potentially genuine top line, absolute elite premiums. They're where I'd be directing my energies rather than those 500 plus value options if possible.
Yep, I agree with that. If you are stuck in a situation where you are forced to make that trade, then they are 100%. Like, you're still happy to bring them in. It's just that if you can, bring the top options is, I think, what you're trying to say, right, Mike?
And I'd really be going out of my way to get Mitchell over any of those guys.
So that means, you know, trading out a rookie you would rather keep and trading out and keeping a rookie you'd perhaps rather get rid of in service of points on field, right?
That's right, yeah. So I ditched Rankin last week. I wasn't happy about it. I thought that he could score a lot more, but I really wanted Duncan into my team.
Cool. All right, last question for the week, Mark, and I think this is probably pertinent to both of us, which is good question to finish on. Now, you've got to be thinking about him too, right? Simpkin.
100% lock. Could not be more locked ever. Lockety lock, lock, lock.
Aggressive. You know what the nice part is, Mark? We might get him at 397, which would be less than 420, which is where most people brought him in initially. So things have worked out okay. Do you have concerns about the nature of this drop-off, though? Because it's not been a small drop-off, Mark. It's significant. Like, the guy was averaging 120 before round 7, and then he went 57, 35, 56. Is it an injury he got over? Is that why you're so gung-ho? Or is it just the potential? What has you sort of having him so locked?
Without looking at the games in front of me, it's hard to remember the exact order of happening, but I'm pretty sure the first one he did the ankle injury. The next one he came in and was Carlton, I'm guessing, was the next one?
Correct, yep.
And so he got tagged by Kerno in that game and was carrying the injury. Then in the third one, a lot of games really close together. I think he actually got a bunch of disposals in that but had some bad disposal efficiency.
Correct.
And then he's posted 100 on the weekend and looked like he was on his way back to being as he was before. So
Cunnington not back, Zeeble not back. Do these concern you?
North being so terrible. They probably do a little bit. And I generally try and avoid North players at all costs because I really dislike North Melbourne, and I don't want to start liking any of their players, but I just think at that price, that's just way too much value for someone that really, really looks like he'll be a top six forward by the end of the year. And he's not like Bailey Smith seems like a really good pick at the low 400s. Simpkins have got a couple of years on Bailey Smith, and yeah, I think that he's it's just way too good to pass up at that price, considering the fact that there does seem to be some good reason why his performance was down for 3 weeks.
Okay, can I posit this to you then? I've got Wingard and Segler, so obviously I'm not trading them out because they're now buy free. I've got Whitfield, Martin, Petrarca, who look like absolute top line, so I'm not trading them either. That's five forwards. Then I've got Smith and Smith as my F6, F7 at this stage. Now, Simpkin obviously would be superfluous to my needs, but he presents a lot of value. Would you think about trading a Smith or Smith to him?
That's a tricky one. I wouldn't do Bailey Smith, although with Dunkley back, who knows what's going to happen with him. And it's tricky that Simpkin hasn't had his bye. That would make that calculation a lot easier. Dev Smith has been really, really struggling, but just posted 100, so you'd be really reluctant to trade him at 360, considering he's coming off 100 and will hopefully go up a bit in price. Maybe in your situation it doesn't make sense, which sucks for you. But I guess eventually, given the fact the way that you're describing your team, he could be a cross-positional cover.
Yeah,
but cover. You're saying that you've already got someone like that anyway with the two Smiths.
Take it a bit further then, Mark. Christian Petrarca, his break-even is 130. He's never done 120 average. He's currently priced at 607. Would you consider banking 200K from that downgrade and hoping Simpkin can manage Petrarca? That's huge. Like, we're talking this whole show, like, struggling with cash generation. Like, this could be an unlocker.
That was literally the next thing that I was going to say, is that if you're going to trade anyone, it would be Petrarca. And it's tricky because when Sidebottom and Danger broke out, didn't they end up averaging about that 115 mark, which is what Petrarca's doing at the moment? And so this might be his average.
It looks like it.
And if that is his average over the course of the season, even at 600,000, you would regret trading him out. Like, he's not like insanely overpriced if that's going to be his average.
How about Patrick Dangerfield playing more in the forward line now because of this buy situation?
Or was that just one game against a bunch of Muppets that they knew that they'd win?
That's probably true. Look, I want Simpkin. I love this value, but no, I take your point, Mark. So Simpkin's good value, but he's not undeniable value is kind of what I'm hearing from you.
I wonder how unique your situation is having a completed forward line. And also, this discussion might not be overly relevant to a lot of our listeners, because I'm guessing that it's pretty unique that we both don't have him, because I think most of our listeners would have him.
Yeah, that's true. We did recommend picking him up when we couldn't pick him up ourselves, unfortunately. So, all right, Mark, I think that's probably enough for this week's show. So I just want to say thanks for the record on the Saturday, and I'm looking forward to our weekly Wednesday chats. Anything final to leave our listeners with, mate?
Not particularly. It's just interesting. We didn't talk about Oscar McInerney. He's potentially in my calculations this week. We didn't talk about trading Giants premiums. That's potentially something on board for me. So,
which one, Mark? Kelly? After his 200.
Yeah. I think he's overpriced given his current output. In that lineup, I just think there's a lot of midfielders taking points off him, and he's not playing that real key role most weeks. And Gorn maybe on the chopping block as well. So, every team is really, really different this week, I think. And the trades are getting more team relevant.
I think what will be very, very fun to discuss with you on Wednesday's show, Mark, and something that we've been reflecting on, we've got an internal sort of podcast host chat, is just around the fact that there's diminishing returns from trading your rookies, right? Like, if you think about it, if you trade a rookie out with all of your trades, like in the most ideal sense, continuing the upgrade downgrade every single week across these 4 weeks where we get three trades, that's 12 rookies you have to pivot in and out. That's not enough time for them to appreciate in cash. So we're literally appreciating diminishing returns on our rookie trades, and therefore more considering some of these premium side swaps to generate cash, which really changes the dynamic as we all enter team completion. So certainly a lot of interesting considerations and various things to have a further chat on Wednesday, Mark.
Yeah, there is. It'll be very interesting to see how this round plays out, mate, because I think I'm going to do something stupid.
Well, I need it to catch up, so good luck. We'll catch you all next week. See ya.
Yeah.